Hello, everybody, and we now continue this episode of A&K on the Runway. We got another to be continued last week, and so we see everything get wrapped up this week, but not without a lot more drama and time spent on this whole cheating scandal.
Yeah, it was just, I think this, we said this last week, if they would have just finished up the episode with Sean and Claire and had that be one episode, then they could have finished up this thing last week and given, it just felt too long, too much time was given to this, and it dragged out sort of thing.
And you kind of see the repercussions of that later in the episode, yes, because everything seemed very, very rushed,
mm-hmm,
about what this challenge is going to be. And considering the challenge it was, usually you get a lot more time spent on that.
Yeah, so it was just, it's unfortunate, but so let's get into it. Let's discuss the specifics. We're back with the judges announcing Claire as the winner of the print challenge and this Dixie Cup challenge, and Michael walking off. And so then we see, you know, a producer talk with Michael, and then finally Tim is talking with him, and Michael says that he believes that this win lacks fairness. We saw that last week. Meanwhile, on the runway, the judges are just kind of losing their minds, like, what's going on? What's happening? And so then Margarita walks off. She's like, I'm going to find Michael. And Michael and Margarita together are talking to Tim about what they feel like is happening. And what that is was a little bit confusing as they were explaining.
I couldn't really get it either. It took a lot of processing, yes, to figure this out.
Because I think it requires knowing the Project Runway contestant rules, which we then get an explanation for. So here's what they are telling Tim happened. That Claire measures her pants and writes down the measurements and then creates a pattern from that.
Her personal pants.
Her personal pants. Meanwhile, on the runway, Botany is the first one to speak and sort of explains that this all began when Claire started creating the same top that Margarita had with her dress for that JCPenney challenge. So that sort of devolves because that's not enough.
That's not the point here because, yeah, as I point. Said last week, Claire does end up revamping that top to where it doesn't look like that.
Yeah, it doesn't end up mattering. What really bothered me about this segment is that Yolanda Hadid, who is a guest judge, is like, well, that should be fine. I'm like, you're a guest judge. You would have no idea.
Right.
That, I'm like, nope, stop. You and Sophia Stallone just kind of need to be out of this discussion. I feel like you don't really know. You're just here for this one challenge.
Right.
So then they're like, okay, well, we're moving on. You know, Claire or Margarita and Michael come back out to the runway and we move on with the judging. And so it seems like, why did we go through all this?
Right. And the judges say that, you know, you all work in these close quarters. You're going to be inspired by each other. You're going to be inspired by the things that you wear, things of that nature. And I tended to agree with what they were saying at that point, that really, I mean, while we may not like it and it doesn't, you know, we on this podcast really railed on Sean and Claire making the same things over and over again, making things that they literally were wearing at the time. That's up to the judges to then weed that out.
Right.
And
does it make for good fashion?
Right.
No, probably not. But that's not, if we're thinking about this in the context of a competition, that's not enough to disqualify you from the competition. It may, you're not like a fabulous competitor at that point.
Yeah.
So we move on, and then we do get a talking head with Tim backstage, and he says, the copying of Margarita's top and other clothes is a non-issue. He's like, I'm not worried about that. What is the problem is the use of a measuring tape outside the workroom, and I'm going to find out. So you're like, okay, all right, Tim's looking into this. So we go back to the runway. We go back to the judging. Kenya, Kentaro, and Margarita are in. Meanwhile, Claire has gone back into the waiting room and has just launched into the story with Brandon, Ayana, and Amy, who are not on the runway.
Mm-hmm.
We're down to Botany and Michael. Botany's out. Michael's in. Everyone goes back to the waiting area. Now, this is where I'm like, okay, why are we spending so much time? But we're getting more of the story here.
So as we get back to, as you called it in a past episode, the kiss and cry room, everybody's kind of talking about the situation and the drama that has gone on. Oh, by the way, Botany has been eliminated. Like, we didn't get that usual, like, oh, you're so sad.
Yeah.
Like, it was kind
They're
of like, it was kind of,
talking about
it was kind of awkward. Like, you saw Ayana only, like, hug her. And then everybody is, like, as this is going on, as Ayana is hugging, like, people are just talking about this. Like, they don't recognize the fact that Botany has been eliminated at all.
Also, Tim didn't immediately come into the room.
Right.
So there's still, there's enough of a window for a discussion to be happening.
Right.
So
Claire is kind of explaining the situation, and she ends up talking herself into a corner.
Mm-hmm.
She says that during the good and evil challenge, she measured a tank top, and she really tries to play it off as of like,
oh, it's just a tank top.
Like, it's not like she was measuring a dress. It's just a tank
top. But if it's just a tank top, you should be able to create that without a pattern.
Exactly. So,
and she was also doing this for Sean. I think that's important to note. That was sort of glossed over since Sean's eliminated.
Right. So she measures this tank top, writes down the measurements, and then brings them to the workroom the next day to, you know, to work on it. Which then Amy then points out, so that means you have a tape measure in your room. And Claire just kind of like, oh, well, yeah.
Which is against the rules.
Which is against the rule, which we learn
yes.
is against the rules of Project Runway.
That's where the issue is coming in from. And that's where last week it was confusing because Michael and Margarita were talking in Spanish about Claire having pants in the bathroom. And you're like, where? In the workroom? Like, it was very confusing
yeah.
as to what was happening when and where.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tim comes in. And Claire is a huge brat. She won't even look at him.
Yeah.
And is, like, annoyed that he's asking her questions. And Tim asks her very direct questions. Claire, do you have a tape measure in the apartments? Yes. Did you use that tape measure to measure garments? Yes, a tank top and the crotch of pants. Okay, well, you're out. That your win is rescinded and you will be sent home.
Just
like,
with
just like
the
that.
Hammer.
Yeah. Just like the NCAA death penalty here.
Right.
And everyone's like, what? I don't think people expected, although it probably is written out when you agree to be on the show,
right.
I have to imagine. I think everyone's like, oh, she won't get the win. She'll get reprimanded and the tape measure will get taken away, but she'll still be here. And they're like, nope, you broke the rules and you will go home.
Right. But honestly, like, what could be the other penalties for that? Like,
there can't be.
It's kind of like when this happened to Missouri last weekend in football. There was an improper ruling on the field.
Uh-huh.
There should have been more time. And then the SEC came out and said, yep, that was our bad. It's kind of like that, to where it's like, so if they were to say, you broke the rules, we're going to rescind your victory, but that's about it. It's like,
yeah,
what else can be done? Like,
it
doesn't really, yeah, there's not really much weight behind that. Like,
yeah.
And especially in this show, like, if she, you know, gets the win taken away, the prize money taken away,
mm-hmm.
all that stuff, but still gets to stay on the show, really, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Like, in my mind, I'd be like, well, okay, that's fine. I can still make it to New York Fashion Week and win this
thing. So I think that was good because it didn't just happen with one challenge. It happened with this past challenge and it happened on at least one previous challenge.
Right.
So, and she at least knows enough that she's being furtive about it. Although it sounds like they have the tank top just out on the table in the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
So she like immediately gets up to clean up her space. I don't even think Tim hugged her.
No.
You know, Michael tried to apologize and she wasn't having any of it. And then we just see her gone. And so it's a little shocking because we don't get any of this from the judges. And I kind of get this feeling of like, I want to see their reaction because they were so like, oh no, they can do that.
Right.
They can work together. So I want to know like, oh no, there was an actual rules violation. Like, what are they thinking about that? But they don't discuss it at all with the judges.
Yeah.
So we're back to Tim and the designers. He's explaining what's happening. There's no win for the challenge, although Dixie still needs a pattern for its cups.
Mm-hmm.
They chose Brandon's, which is so funny because he wasn't even in the top.
Bulletproof Brandon.
Yeah.
I mean, that man can do no wrong in this show.
Nothing. Like, Brandon's like, oh, awesome. You could tell other people are like, what? He wasn't even on the runway.
Right.
Like,
he wasn't even in the top three.
That is. So Dixie was clearly like, no, we like this pattern best. Like.
Right.
So bizarre.
You would think that, like, I'm okay with the win not just being, like, passed on. And like, oh, Kentaro was clearly the runner-up to this show, to this challenge. He wins now. I'm okay with that not happening because $25,000 is a lot of money.
Yeah.
To hand over to somebody. Which does get brought up. Claire mentions in her defense, like, is this about the money? Which I said last week, I was like, yeah. If this was over, like I said, if it was you get a lifetime supply of those pens, nobody cares.
Or if it was just about the Dixie cup,
right?
I don't think it would have come out now. It would have still been festering,
right,
sort of thing. So I guess it's good. Now we've sort of excised this cancer on the show. And we can hopefully move on. Botany's still in, by the way.
Yes.
So Claire's gone. Botany's in. We're moving on. But Michael and Margarita are, like, still feeling awful. They just regret how it was handled. And I'm like, okay, I get it. You should have just maybe had a sit down with Tim. It sort of just blew up in this way, and it's like, okay, we're all gonna move on.
Right. I don't see any other way. I mean, the walking out thing, mm-hmm, and you could tell throughout this whole thing that Margarita was trying to not say anything and throw people under the bus and make accusations, things like that. But how else does this really come up? I don't think pulling Tim aside and being like, hey, this is what's going on.
Yeah.
Really
it took
does
her winning.
Yeah.
It was, people are like, whatever. She has sucky designs.
Yeah.
She's in the bottom. Yeah. Eventually she's going to go.
Yeah. As long as she's not taking my spot,
yes,
then I'm fine with it.
It took her winning for people like, no. Like,
right,
hey, this is happening. So, like I said, it's done. We are now twin free. We are moving on in the show. I am disappointed in how the show handled it. And so I'm hoping that we're back on track.
Right.
So, the next day.
We still have a challenge to do this episode.
Believe it or not, given that nearly half the episode is gone, we still do have a challenge. And it is an odd one in the sense that Tim and, I didn't get her name, but she's the U.S. marketing director for Shopkins, meet the designers on the runway. Curtis, did you know what Shopkins were or are?
If only because I work at a video store and
okay,
I have seen Shopkins videos displayed, yes. But that's all of it. I know that they exist. I do not know what they are.
I had no idea. And when the designers walked into the runway area, there were these colorful stuffed plush animals and like tea parties and little tables and like eight little children everywhere. And I'm like, oh God, I had no idea what a Shopkins is. It sounds kind of like this generation's version of a Bratz doll.
Okay, yeah.
And I hate those type of dolls. Like, it sounds like they just go shopping.
Yeah.
And so these dolls are called shoppies. And, oh, I'm like, what do they do? What are they inspiring little girls to do? Except, like, have weird proportions and weird big bug eyes and long, beautiful hair. Like, oh, no, not another one. So, okay, separate issue. We're going to move on from that. The challenge is to create an avant-garde look inspired by a Shopkins character and a super fan.
Mm-hmm.
So...
It is... I didn't like... I'm okay with this Shopkins thing, I guess. They need to get sponsorship money from somewhere.
Notice how they have to go into, like, youth stuff. Because we had that movie.
Right.
And we've had... Now we've had this. And then we've had the Disney Descendants. So we're, right, like, tween central this,
yeah,
this season.
So... I'm okay with the inspiration. I don't like it being the avant-garde challenge.
No.
Just because, like, avant-garde is supposed to be, like, the pinnacle of high fashion. And you're essentially asking the designers to gain inspiration from
an 8-year-old
kids and their toys.
So they have 30 minutes to sit and discuss the superfan's favorite Shopkins character. And I'm like, what are they talking about? Like, what are they supposed to discuss? So you see the discussions, and here's an example of how one of them went. So Brandon's super fan girl, her favorite was, like, I know this is wrong, but, like, chocolate peppermint or something.
It had something to do with chocolate, yes. Chocolate.
So she's like, you know what? You should create this dress to where you're smashing chocolate on it, and then chocolate's, like, melting on it. It'll be really cool. And he's like, you can already tell he's afraid of children a little bit and is, like, terrified of the whole situation. He's like, yeah, that sounds really interesting. Well, he's like, I don't know what to draw here or do.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple of them are like, I love glitter. And they're like, yeah, I loved glitter when I was 8, too. Like, what am I supposed to do with that? So I get you're supposed to make it sophisticated and high fashion. It was just really interesting that these little girls were like, yeah, she's going to a disco party. I'm like, I didn't know what disco is.
Right.
So the winner gets this real prize here. A one-of-a-kind Shoppy, right?
Yep.
At first I put they were Shopkies, and I was like, I don't know what this is. They will get a one-of-a-kind Shoppy inspired by their design, which is interesting because their design is supposed to be inspired by another character already.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, and then they get $5,000. So
that's the most important
part. That's the most important part. They're like, who cares? I guess Dixie got to keep their $25,000 they were going to furnish.
True. So the designers head into the workroom, and Margarita points something out that becomes very, very evident right away, which is with the twins gone, there is an airiness about the workroom. Everybody, you can see, is just really working well together and, you know, joking with each other and things like that. You can really feel, like, the positive energy coming out of that workroom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't have, like, there's no twins yelling at each other. You don't have the focus on Claire now that John's gone. Like, it's really nice that they went one after the other.
For sure. So after a quick stop at Mood, we get into Tim Gunn critiques. Pretty much right away.
Which we really have to, because there's no time.
Right.
There's no time.
And like I alluded to earlier, this is an episode that you really, like, the focus on the designers and their design and what their inspiration is.
Yeah.
Usually really gets a lot of focus in this episode, and you can't get that because they've spent the first 25 to 30 minutes with this whole, you know.
Yeah, measuring tape cheating thing.
Right.
I think it's nonsense that they're only getting one day for an avant-garde challenge
that
and they
too.
Got 2 days for a print challenge, like where they were creating casual ready-wear,
yeah,
you know, sort of things. And I'm like, really? This is kind of a big deal to use.
Like this is one of their like flagship challenges. Exactly. They always have this and it's always a really big deal.
Yeah. So it's, I just don't understand like why we're only doing one today challenges primarily this season. Okay. The Tim Gunn critique. You know, sometimes we got some good stuff and sometimes we really didn't out of these, but he starts with botany and he's telling her to not let things, like she's doing sort of add-ons and things that are coming off the main bodice of the dress to be a distraction. We should note that botany is working with Monique, I believe is her name. She's working with a fuller figured model, which has always been botany's Achilles heel.
Right.
Because she seems that she's like 3'2". Yeah. And like 80 pounds.
Yeah. Botany is using a lot of color as usual. And so Tim thinks that anything, you know, kind of coming off of this garment in terms of like an accessory or like she said she wanted to do like butterfly wings thing again, that could be a major distraction because there's already so much going on with the colors.
Mm-hmm.
Kentaro is one that kind of gets breezed over very quickly. So we move on to Margarita. She is kind of creating her own textile by putting this glitter fabric on top of packing foam so that she can kind of mold it and give it some volume. Tim seemed very impressed with that.
Mm-hmm. So that's very smart. We skim past Kenya, which we get zero Kenya in this episode, so she's most likely safe.
Yep.
Is what I deduced early on. He talks with Ayana. And his first expression is, oh dear. It is a lot. I mean, she had 4 different types of fabric and several colors and like a bright pink and a yellow and a polka dot.
Mm-hmm.
And he says it's too much, that she needs to start editing now. And the whole goal of this challenge was to make children's land sophisticated, which is kind of an oxymoron if you think about it.
Michael is wanting to make a disco ball jumpsuit because he had the Shopkin superfan that said this one going to a disco party.
I bet that this little girl watched like Saturday Night Fever or something with her parents one time. Like it was on TV and they're all hanging out and she's like, you know what I love? Disco. I love the music. Give me some Donna Summer. I am all about it. And that's adorable.
Very possible. So Tim says that with this sequined material, there is no hiding anything. So if there is even the slightest design flaw, slightest construction flaw, it will be very evident on the runway.
Amy's critique is next, and Tim feels it looks like a mishmash of 2 different looks, and that what she's starting to create up at the top, you know, looks really great, but once, she gets to the bottom, her textile looks like cheap pantyhose, and she's really struggling with this challenge, so he's trying to get her back on track.
And then we get to Brandon, who is also really struggling with avant-garde. I think he doesn't quite know what to do with it. He really is at a loss when Tim comes to talk to him. He's kind of just sitting there and just kind of looking at his dress form. He does have some material on there, but
yeah, he has a base.
Not too much. So he goes to Kentaro for some help, who gives him some ideas. And he really seems pressed for time, which, is just about the same for everybody.
Yeah. Tim tells him just to expand from the base that he has and go from there. It's hard to see where that's going to actually go.
Yeah.
But overall, Tim feels very excited about all of the looks. And that's all we get. That's all we get from the workday. We know that Brandon's worried, Amy's struggling, and Ayana has a ton of fabric. And that's it. And it's the day of the runway show.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really have a ton from the pre-runway.
Yeah, like I said, it almost seems like nobody's going to have it almost seems like nobody's going to have a complete look to go down the runway, because anytime Tim comes into the workroom, which is pretty common, but you know, how are things going? And everybody's just kind of like, not great.
Yeah, awful. I have no time.
It's like, okay, well, you got 10 minutes before the runway. So
yeah, make it work.
Yeah. So we do get to the runway. We see that Kate Upton is the guest judge for this week. So our first look down the runway is Brandon's. And I thought this was really drapey and kind of similar to what he did last week. Not in terms of, like, not directly, but, like, especially the back. There's a lot of just these straps hanging down the back off of buckles. And that seems like almost exactly what he did last week. I don't really see the avant-garde in this. He does have these, I can't tell if this is a pant or skirt. I think he had like an apron kind of inspiration here, but it looks like what it looks like are pant cuffs kind of on the side, and he has the model holding them as she walks down the runway. And it reminded me of what Kelly did 2 seasons ago when she did the Brooklyn Bridge thing.
Mm-hmm.
Except that I feel like that's what he was trying to do, but he wasn't, either didn't have the time to do it or isn't good enough to do it, to where it's just like, okay, this is what's going to be the avant-garde about this, is that this is going to have volume, but it's artificial volume because the model is holding it out there.
He said his inspiration was cuffs, like cuffs of a shirt, but instead of, but it's on the side of the dress. I don't know. It's hard to describe this. So the colors are white and a pea soup green. And I don't really care for that color. It's a little too like hospital gowny color to me.
Mm.
But he just has, yeah, and he's done this before where he has like the complicated necklines of just a ton of different halters, but it's like layered. I mean, it's very, I said it's sophisticated for Brandon because he's still using these layerings, but he doesn't have crop tops, and it seems like it'd probably be featured in a magazine as editorial. I just didn't know what to say about it because it wasn't, I don't know if it's really avant-garde in a sense. And I know we've looked at that definition before, like you're supposed to be pushing boundaries. It doesn't just have to be a crazy costume sort of thing, but I didn't know if this did it, I guess.
I agree.
So Botany's is next.
Hate it.
And it's also hard to describe. She has this electric blue fabric. It's a thicker fabric. And then she has the same fabric in a grayish black and then a floral print. And it's a dress, I believe. And it has like a cape hood thing that she made. And so the cape comes off, and the cape is in the electric blue. But there's so much weird volume in the front. It's just bizarre. And it's way too short. Way too short. And very messy. I felt like there was no reason or thought in the way things were sewn together or how it was designed. The pattern, that floral pattern and that blue color are nice, but that's really about it. And it's not very flattering on her model. Like, her model has a very long neck, and then she bunched up all of her hair. It's just, it's bizarre.
Yeah, I agree. This is just kind of a mishmash of color and fabrics. There doesn't appear to be a ton of design to it. Like, it's just she kind of pinned it in different ways and then settled on one that looked the best.
Mm-hmm.
I actually thought, go ahead.
They remind me of placemats, that fabric a little bit.
It reminds me of a coat that I have.
Oh, yeah. That,
that blue kind of, yeah, waffle material.
Mm-hmm. One. I just feel like my mom has placemats in that gray color of that same fabric.
Yeah. I thought this looked better with the cape thing on, honestly.
Sure. Definitely.
It kind of has that neckline and everything like that. It kind of held things together a little bit more. And then when she takes it off, it really just kind of falls apart.
Yeah.
Kenya's look is next. And this is a very cool concept. She creates a strapless dress, and on the hips is kind of a peplum, but it's turned to the side as of what you would usually think. It's like layered.
It's like petals.
Right. And so that's what I say. It looks like flower petals.
Yeah.
And which I think plays perfectly into a child's toy. Like, mm-hmm. that would be something they would really like. It looks really, really well made. There's some kind of construction issue, though, because the model can barely walk in this thing. I think it's just way, way too long. And so she's, like, stepping on it as mm-hmm. she's walking down the runway. And she has it in this...
It's a houndstooth pattern.
Yeah. Like, tiny black diamonds all throughout. Yeah, in a houndstooth pattern. I think it could have worked. I like the pattern. I think it could have looked a little bit better had it been broken up a little bit and not had the entire outfit in that. But I think this looked great.
Yeah, I liked it. So she also has the sort of petals over the bust of the dress as well. I had I think it was called a fairy spinner. It was a toy when I was little.
Remember those.
Yeah, this exact same outfit.
Yeah.
It was like in a pink. This is sort of like vampy because she's got her in like a long black wig and like a dark lip. It's not avant-garde though, I think is the problem. It's very beautiful and it's constructed really well, except it's too long. You can tell that this model is afraid she's going to fall on her face. This is definitely red carpet. Someone would wear this to a red carpet and you would be like, oh, that's a great dress, but you wouldn't say it's avant-garde.
Mm-hmm.
Ayana's look and model walk the runway next, and it is a ginormous hoop skirt, essentially, but that hangs from her shoulders like she made it out of chicken wire. It has 6 layers of ruffles and a ginormous bow, and this is in a fuchsia pink fabric, a ginormous bow. On the left side and on the back has 2 smaller bows. And then there are like capri pants or capri leggings made out of the polka dot fabric with gray tulle coming off. And she styled her hair into a bow with glitter on it. And I just can't take this seriously. First of all, she can't move her arms because the chicken wire thing literally covers her arms. So you have to walk with your arms at your side. She looks like a Muppet. She seriously looks like a Muppet. And it's not a design. It's just a hoop skirt with ruffles on it. And to me, it's just too juvenile. Like, she's going for the shoppy more than she's going for fashion.
I see where you're coming from. I agree with you that I think she...
looks like a Muppet?
Went with the going for the shoppy over the fashion aspect of this. However, I think she perfectly encapsulated this challenge. Everything is very big and exaggerated,
right.
Which is what you want from avant-garde. Like, that bow on the front is just massive.
It is.
And
it's probably a 2-foot bow.
Right. And then everything is very bright and colorful, which is what a child's doll is going to be like.
For sure.
So I think she nailed this challenge, honestly.
I think you're right. Within the confines of the challenge, she knew what she was doing. I think my critique has issue with the challenge.
I agree with that point, but as I looked at this more, I liked it more and more. Just because it toes the line of costume, but it doesn't quite cross that line.
Yeah, and she definitely took a risk, and she pushed herself, and it's well made. It doesn't look, you know, poorly done or anything. I guess...
Like, you get some close-ups on it, and there's stitching on the bottom of each mm-hmm. of those ruffles, which mm-hmm. is really, really, a really good attention to detail. I think she nailed this challenge.
Yeah, I mean, at first I was like, I thought that this whole thing would be an actual skirt. I didn't realize that she would be a cupcake.
See, but the thing is about that is let's say she makes that into a skirt, into the actual, like she keeps exactly what she mm-hmm. has and just moves it down into an actual skirt. Now she looks like little Bo Peep.
For sure. She can't do that.
Right.
Now it's costume.
So I think that's what you get. Like, that's the editorial part of it, mm-hmm. where it's like she recognized that, and she just makes that the entire outfit.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think you have the right critique on it and, like, the frame of mind to do it.
Up next, we have Kentaro. And I thought this was a bit of a miss. Mm. This looks almost exactly like his dance-inspired look, except it's in white.
Yeah.
And that was like, his tipping point. That was, he got in front of the judges. They didn't like it. They thought it was way too safe. They didn't see any kind of inspiration into it. And from then on, he just crushed everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's kind of disappointing to see him go back to this. However, he has made this, I mean, it's essentially like a ballerina outfit. It's just that plain spaghetti strap top. It has the tulle, like tutu, below it. There's leggings. He does have this kind of ruffly skirt over the top of the tulle. And you get a close-up of it, and there's detail in it that's really, really beautiful. And I'm not sure how he did that. I'd mm-hmm. be very interested in seeing what he did to create these waves that are incorporated into what is already a very billowy, ruffly piece of material.
Yeah, and the model started out covered in, like, essentially it's just a really long veil.
Yeah.
It's just tulle.
You could see him doing that during the work, in the workroom, mm-hmm. and I was like, that's not going to play very well.
Yeah, so he had a story, and I'm not sure what it was. But it is elegant, but it's just a Swan Lake costume. You know, it's not avant-garde or anything. You know, some hip dancer is just going to wear that to class. Or, like I said, just a costume somewhere as far as, like, being in a ballet. So, not great as far as pushing the boundaries. And really, like, he could have done something really cool with this challenge. Amy's look is next. And she has created, she's got layers. So the bottom layer is just a black leather tube dress to right above the knee. And then the outer layer, and I'm not sure what sort of fabric this is, but it's a black, like, thicker fabric. And she made, like, a high-collared coat. But then on the right side is this just long piece of tan fabric that I don't think has any purpose to it. So it's so simple. The layers are sort of weird. It's just not enough. She didn't really push it, and it doesn't feel avant-garde. Like, she could have sent this down for another challenge, and I don't, you know, it would have been odd, but I think she missed the mark.
I agree. I think this was just way too safe for her. She took her critique with Tim way too seriously. In it, he said that the top half of this look was a knockout, but the bottom half was just kind of a mess of everything. And so it looked like she just gave up on the bottom half. Like, I feel like because the like high collar, you know, almost like a folded hood thing, starts on the model's right shoulder and then kind of wraps around to the left and then continues into a wrap, basically a wrap jacket, wrap mm-hmm. dress, however you... I feel like had she continued that down and made, you know, something longer on the right side of this jacket or this dress, then it adds a little bit more to it. And this isn't so plain,
mm-hmm.
but like I said, like it looks like she just gave up on the bottom half.
And we've seen her do so many things in past challenges that are more avant-garde than this.
Mm-hmm.
Like the very first challenge where she created that sort of convertible dress, like all that sort of stuff that she's done, that one thing becomes something else would have been really great. And I don't know, she just got tired or, you know, just couldn't get past sort of a design block.
Sure.
A little bit, but it's too bad.
Up next is Margarita. And to me, this seemed a little similar to Botany's look in that it just was a lot. It looks like a lot of fabric just kind of thrown together. I didn't really see the design aspect in this. Granted, it has a little bit more shape than Botany's does. And this looked a lot more cohesive than Botany's look. So this to me was only slightly better.
Oh, I completely disagree. This is very high fashion. It's so beautiful. Someone is wearing this as their wedding dress. So she has created, she has a sparkly fabric that she used around the shoulders and the left bust, and it goes in the back. And then she uses like ivory tulle. I don't know what all fabrics she has, but I think there's more of a reason from what Botany did. And she hand draped this in sort of a really elegant way to where she's still taking into account the model's body. She's making it look really beautiful, and it's hard to describe. It really is. I mean, but I think the colors go together. I think from the top down, there's sort of a reason to where the volume comes in. And it's just really interesting. It fits her really well. Yeah, I would wear this as a wedding dress.
Okay.
I
don't think anybody's wearing this to their wedding.
You don't? Oh, please. There's somebody out there, some like high fashion designer or model or actress that would wear something like this.
No.
Okay. The last look is Michael's, and he created a silver sequined jumpsuit, and he has coming from the right shoulder, like there's just some like volume. I don't know how he did it. And then over the stomach and into the hips, it's like a tube almost across where there's volume there. It looks like an alien is like rippling through her. It's like a long sleeve, bell bottom, you know, sequin jumpsuit. And I hate the bell bottoms because that seems too 70s disco to me. But it's constructed nicely and it fits her really well. I just didn't get the... I guess if you didn't do the rippling, I mean, you just have like a sequin jumpsuit, but...
That's literally what I wrote down. I didn't get... what the structure adds, and I mean, it does look well made. But yeah, I don't get it.
I don't get it at all. Okay, so what's your guess for top and bottom?
I have Ayana Kenya Kentaro as the top, and really, it was just Ayana and Kenya. I had trouble adding in a third person, and then I have Michael Botany and Brandon on the bottom.
For my top, I had Margarita, Kenya, and Kentaro. And from us picking Kenya and Kentaro, you can tell that we're not avant-garde.
Right.
Because those were the least avant-garde looks. You can tell that we sort of tend towards more conventional designs. And my bottom, I have Ayana, Amy, and Botany. Turns out that Kenya and Kentaro are told that they're safe.
Right.
And they say that they have 4 top scores and 2 bottom scores because they love this runway so much.
Right.
Were you surprised by that?
I definitely was. I feel like there wasn't as much avant-garde as we have seen in the past.
For sure.
So I was really kind of expecting this to be a very, at best, neutral judging.
Yeah, I was surprised they were so high on it.
Right. We also get the one or more warning in terms of eliminations.
Is there a time schedule?
It doesn't seem like there is that we're behind.
I'm surprised.
Because we lost. Well, there's an episode in which we did not lose a person because it was the twins challenge. So they went into next day.
Sean went home.
Right, but that was in the next episode. And in that episode, still nobody went home.
Because
it carried on to this week's episode. So this week, we've already had somebody go home earlier in this episode. So now we are getting maybe two more people going home. So that's three people eliminated in one episode. So in that case, they would be one episode ahead.
Yeah.
In terms of
elimination, we still have a Tim Gunn save out there.
Right.
As well. They start the judging with Ayana, and everyone gushes over this look. They feel like it's a showstopper, it's imaginative, and that's what avant-garde is all about, and it's really fun.
They move on to Michael. They said this was very well made. It looks good from every angle. And Michael explained that his look was inspired by a disco ball essentially melting off of the model, which I guess I kind of see it and I don't, but the judges apparently saw that inspiration
and just loved it. It's really interesting. Next, they talked to Brandon, and I'm surprised. Everyone thought it was super cool. They get the concept of a cuff rolling up, which I didn't until he said it. Kate Upton loved the neck detailing, which she also said that she has an apron in that color, which if you would have said that to anybody else, it feels like a diss. But somehow, like, Brandon's outfit made her think of cooking or something. And they, you know, Nina respects that he kept his aesthetic.
They move on to Botany's look. Nobody really likes this. I mentioned it looks like scraps just kind of sewn together. It looks unfinished and unintentional to the point to where they can't tell if, like, exactly what that sounds like. They can't tell if Botany just ran out of time or if she meant to have that look come down the runway, which Botany says that's what she wanted. That's exactly what she was going for.
Because she had, like, a black underskirt or underdress, and there wasn't a sort of continuation of that floral and that blue. Right. And so you just saw, like, on her, I think it was her right hip, was just the black underdress, and they're like, why? What is this?
Yes. So they all just kind of come to the consensus that it looks like she ran out of time.
They also really did not like Amy's. Heidi said she's not a fan because of the comparison to all the other looks. It's not risky or streamlined, and the volume on the collar was not enough.
Of note here, though, they said it was streamlined. They like that they know that her aesthetic is streamlined.
Yeah, but they didn't feel like this was streamlined.
So they praise Brandon for sticking to his aesthetic, but get on Amy for sticking to hers?
I think that Brandon could send down a paper bag dress and they would just rave over it. There's something about, and I'm not saying that Brandon's not a good designer, but there is something about Brandon and the way that he explains, like, oh, well, I just really liked the grain of that bag. And they'd be like, oh, wow, that's magical. And that is the other, they don't transfer that to other designers.
Right. Like I said, bulletproof Brandon. Finally, we get to Margarita's look. They said this is beyond stunning. It looks very cloud-like, and you can really feel the emotion coming from her design.
Okay, what's your guess for winner and out?
I think that Ayana wins. I think Botany is out, and just Botany.
I have the exact same picks. Turns out that Michael is the winner, which I'm pretty shocked by.
As was I.
They, like, really loved Ayana's, so I'm like, oh, they're, you know, they have to go with that one. So.
Right. Yeah, and I think that there was just a lot more to Ayana's. Like I said, I think she perfectly encapsulated the challenge. Like, who's going to buy a doll that looks like what Michael made?
I know. I thought that same thing. I'm like, how is that translating to a doll?
Right.
Whereas Ayana's, a perfect doll.
Right.
So that'll be really interesting. So now that he has two things that are sort of recreated, I know that this whole look isn't being recreated, right, but, you know, that's really interesting. So they let Ayana, Brandon, and Margarita go back. They're in. And it's between Botany and Amy.
Botany gets absolutely no love in this episode because there is, it is just a quick, Botany, you're out. Bye. So Botany got eliminated twice in this episode. That's pretty rough for her.
Yeah.
And then we also learned that Amy is out.
Yeah, which is just pretty shocking that they're like, you know, yep, we've got to refine for Fashion Week. I'm like, oh, well.
I completely disagreed with this decision, and it has nothing to do with the high esteem that I held Amy through. Yeah. Most of this season, I started to agree with you that she's not really putting things out there that are getting the attention of the judges. And again, I don't think that this was any different. Like, I don't think that this look was so bad that she deserved to go home for it.
I agree. Like,
Botany's I thought she was safe.
Yeah, Botany's was really bad.
Yeah.
So to have them both be gone, and Amy was very distraught. I mean, I think she realized that, yeah, her look wasn't as elevated, or she didn't push herself as much as the others, but... And then Botany was surprised she was out. She loved her look. I'm like, girl, you are missing it, I think. But,
right.
So, it's interesting. So, I'm glad that sort of this string of episodes is coming to a close. And that hopefully we're just, you know, we've got six people, so we're on track for Fashion Week. And we can sort of move on.
Right. So, who is your number six designer in your power rankings?
Ayana, because I think out of the six, she's the weakest designer.
I would agree with that. I also have her as my number six designer. I said last week that ever since her win, like, I just have seen more of the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
She did do a great job this challenge, but I do think that the kind of novelty of the challenge played into it. And she was able to just, I'm not going to say get lucky, but I think if this is just any other challenge, she probably sticks with her usual aesthetic.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
As my number five, I have Brandon. Again, we're just kind of seeing a lot of the same things from him over and over again, that it's getting kind of old.
Yeah, I just don't know what a full collection from him would be like.
Right.
My number five is Michael. I know he just won, but he swings between being in the bottom and being in the top. And so there's just not that consistency there. My number four is Kenya. I think Kenya is also sometimes prone to being a one-trick pony. I think she will put together a very beautiful collection, but I think in the terms of Project Runway challenges, she sometimes isn't good at figuring out how to meet the challenge.
My number four is Michael. And I kind of put him there by default. I had Brandon there. And then I was going through and I had Ayana already at six. And I was like, who am I forgetting? And it's Michael. And that kind of perfectly encapsulates his presence in this season. That he hasn't made a ton that just really has stuck out to me and made him memorable. So my number three is Margarita. I think she has rebounded well from her disastrous white pant incident. And I think that definitely was the exception more than the norm, because basically everything else that she's made this entire season has been very, very good.
You'll note that model is no longer a model, or at least wasn't for this episode.
Yes, she was.
She was?
Yes, she was Kenya's.
Oh.
You just couldn't tell because of the wig.
Okay, yep. Never mind.
She was Kenya's.
Okay. My number three is Brandon. I think just similar to what you had said of just kind of the one-trick pony and not really seeing a lot of variation from him. He's held on, and like you said, he is the golden boy, and people on the show will say it, I don't think they're actively rooting for his fall, but I think they're like confused at what the judges see.
Sure.
My number two is Margarita. I agree with you. I think she's rebounded well and seems to be on an upward trajectory.
My number two is Kenya. I honestly don't think she has made anything that bad this season. I can't remember.
Just pajamas.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can't remember when she was in the bottom.
Well, or she's in the bottom with that team challenge with Amy.
Right, or even just in danger of going home.
Yeah.
So she has essentially just kind of either been safe or been one of the better designers on the show. Which leaves, for both of us, Kentaro as number one. I'm a little worried about this week.
Yeah.
At the same time, though, nothing has happened for him to kind of go back to that safe spot. It wasn't like he was in the bottom last week, and so now which has forced him to go back to what he knows.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he just kind of missed with this. And like I said, even in his misses, there is still something in his designs
he's still really elegant.
That, you know, makes you kind of stop and look at things.
For sure. I agree with you. I think he's interesting. I'm always interested to see what he's going to design and put out. So it looks like next week is an unconventional materials challenge, which are some of my least favorite challenges, personally. So we'll have to see. Hopefully.
And it doesn't look to be all that different from the one we did earlier this season.
Yeah.
Like, we see, police tape being used and things like that. So
yeah, I'm just, at this point, with six people left, why can't we just have them design amazing looks with fabric and real materials and just duke it out that way?
Sure.
That's my only thing.
So we have three people, in theory, that need to be eliminated. So we're looking at like five episodes still?
Well, and sometimes they take four to Fashion Week. So it really just depends.
But they do two
Fashion
Week episodes.
They do. I want Brandon to go just so I can see like his parents. And I just want to know more about how he came to be the way that he is. So yeah, but luckily there was no to be continued. So we don't have to stop the show.
Right. So we can get into a normal episode of Project Runway for the first time in what seems like forever.
Yes.
So we will see you back here to talk about it then.
See ya.
Auf Wiedersehen.